You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's go. 6:07 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. It's already Wednesday. Time is moving and grooving. Good morning to Thomas Callahan. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm kind of surprised that it's already Wednesday.
It's moving and grooving, buddy. You got your Gibson guitar shirt on.
Very nice.
Nothing wrong with that. It's one of our favorite jazz guitarists' birthday today.
It is Mr. Joe Pass.
So we're going to do that today, of course. Higgins, turn away from the radio. Joe hates jazz. So.
Or Joe, keep listening. And eventually it'll just somehow seep into your blood. And one day you're going to be like, man, I want to listen to Joe Pass right now.
And the Wakeys are kind of like, that ain't happening.
So it's worth a shot.
On a somber note, we lost a TUSD school, former TUSD school board member, Michael Hicks, passed away. He was a victim of COVID-19. And so Mike died, I guess, in the last 24 hours or so. And Mike was, what I liked about Mike is he gave a damn. And very rarely could you find someone that was an elected official who gave a damn about kind of trying to change things a little bit. And he was one of those few guys in the experience of doing this show, trying to make Tucson better, all the things we've been trying to do in this radio show and how to make Tucson better. And no one, and Mike did it what he thought was his way. And I got to give him all the credit in the world. Sometimes he wasn't effective, sometimes he was, but in the end, the guy gave a damn and wanted Tucson and TUSD to be better. And if you guys remember, you may not know, he was the adopted son of former Tucson Mayor Lou Murphy. And Mike always talked about how he saw, what his dad did as the mayor of Tucson. And this is the city Mike loved. He worked for the city of Tucson for years. He worked for Pima College. And he was, he taught. And, he was a little bit of a rebel, which I think a lot of us liked. He ran for city council. He ran for state legislature. He did have a need to serve and a love of this town. And if you asked him why he did any of this, right, the number one reason is he loved Tucson. No matter how many times Tucson punched him in the face, no matter how many times Tucson didn't look so good, or TUSD, he would go in there and he would fight for the kids at TUSD in the best way that he knew how. So rest in peace, Mike. You definitely were a fighter, and I knew you did this because you loved your town. And so Tucson will miss you, and rest in peace, Mikey. So again, we just had him on the show in, did he come to the happy hour? He might have came to the happy hour. Last time I saw Mikey was probably October, and I know he's been fighting with this crap since early December, I believe. So rest in peace, Mike Hicks. We do have Grant Kruger at the 707. He's the owner of the three restaurants at St. Philip's Plaza. Had a nice lunch there yesterday on the patio. And he is part of a group of people, business owners, who are suing Pima County on the stupid 10 o'clock curfew rule. So it'll be very interesting. And over Pima County's objections, they were able to, the Goldwater Institute joined the case, and it's going to be a little bit of a hootenanny. I know there's a hearing Friday morning at 10 o'clock. I think they're going to go for an injunction that would basically cancel the curfew until Pima County somehow can prove it in a court of law that somehow this is something that's so important to public health that you can just basically discriminate against one part of the business community while everyone else is doing their stuff. And so, and again, we'll have Grant explain it when he gets here. Oh, when he calls in, is that he's like, well, we're doing all the health stuff like everyone else, right? So what happens at 9:59 when we're doing the health stuff, and then what happens at 10 o'clock? We're still doing the same protocols. Wearing the mask, social distancing, you know, everyone's being uber careful. And so the idea, and again, there's no proof of any of this that bars are a spreader of anything. Again, like I keep telling you, Dr. Chris, the health director of the state of Arizona, on the stand said there's no data that supports when the governor first shut down bars and gyms, they had no data when they made that decision. So trust me, Pima County has less data. So we'll go from there. So we got Grant Kruger. Matt Neely's going to be here. We're going to be talking about, let's see. Matt's always a good historian. He goes back and looks at, you know, we want to be consistent, right? Let's see what we got here. We're going to be talking about, let's come back to me now. Slow internet today. Here we go. Thanks, Chris. We're going to be talking about the six videos of, we're not going to play all six, of Democrats who basically said that encourage violence against others that are still up on social media. Again, we just want equal treatment. Encouraging violence, whether you're an R or a D, are both bad, okay? But they're still up there, even though all this stuff is going on. We're going to be talking about, we might play one Cory Booker one that's pretty good, where he literally said you need to get up in the face of Congress. And we'll, but I'm sure that doesn't make any of the stuff out there. We're also going to be talking about, it was Monday, there was a Dave Wickner article in The Star about this Too Simple autonomous truck company. Okay, and how it's a, quote, major expansion. And they're going to add an extra 100 jobs. And then I said, does anyone, when they first did their first expansion, did anyone actually verify that the jobs were for people from Tucson? Because what you'll find out is they have a lot of people from out of the country who work at Too Simple, who are not, they're not employing that many Tucsonans. So someone at the city of Tucson was listening to the show and then sent me a couple of things that I can't say who it's from because they'll get in trouble. That what's also missing is that there's an incentive. They were going to expand anyway, and the city gave them an incentive of tax dollars to do an expansion for possibly 100 jobs that aren't even for people from Tucson. So I'm going to give you how much that number of an incentive it was. Before it's all over, I got what Matt wants to do. There's a little Timmy at the Star, Stellar, did a thing about he wants Fincham removed from office because supposedly, I guess, about whatever went down in the Capitol that day. I don't read Tim's stuff very often, so I don't know what Matt's. Well, we'll have Matt educate me on it. And then he'll talk about the mob situation in 2011 where Adelita Grijalva didn't condemn a mob takeover of a TUSD school board meeting. And actually, people in the room told me she helped coordinate a takeover of a mob at the TUSD school board meeting. I assume he's going to say little Timmy didn't say anything. And then he has a very interesting thing in relation to Phoenix realizing a windfall of California. You're going to love this. Soccer players and their parents. So we'll talk about that. And then he wants to get into the FBI knew about threats of violence on January 6th at the Capitol and didn't do anything. So we'll be talking about that with the great Matt Neely before it's all over. What else do we got here today? Lots of stuff to talk about. Let's go to break. It's 6:15 in the morning. Remember, I am doing a cooking class this Friday night at FlyingApronsTucson.com, 5:30 to 7, we're going to do some Italian food, shrimp scampi, fettuccine alfredo, garlic bread. We have four wines that were recommended by Plaza Liquors. So what you're going to do is get your stuff, get your vino. We already sent out the Italian music albums that maybe you can find, listen to, stream or whatever while we're cooking, and we're going to have lots of laughs and cook some amazing food. So join us, FlyingApronsTucson.com, this Friday, 5:30 to 7. Joe Pass's birthday. We're going to chill out. Wake up, Tucson. Oh, look at us. Putting everyone back to sleep. It's so mellow. It's called Wake Up Tucson. We got to mix it up a little bit. 790-2040 is the phone number. 6:21 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. So, you know, Mike Pence sent a letter back to San Fran-nan, and this is about they want him to invoke the 25th Amendment to get rid of Trump right now, even though he's out of a job in, really soon? And less than a week. And so, you know, he probably hurt her brain because this thing had, like, logic and kind of used even some of her own words against her, which I'm sure Madam Speaker didn't like. She said, my computer is having a hell of a day today. Dear Madam Speaker, every American was shocked and saddened by what happened at the nation's capital. I am grateful for the leadership and you and congressional leaders provided okay in reconvening. Now, with just 8 days left in the term, you and the Democrat caucus are demanding that the cabinet and I invoke the 25th Amendment. I do not believe that such a course of actions in the interest of the nation are consistent with the Constitution of the United States. Last week, I did not yield to pressure to exert power beyond my constitutional authority to, my constitutional authority to determine the outcome of the election, and I will not yield to the efforts in the House of Representatives to play political games at a time so serious in the life of the nation. As you know full well, it was designed to address presidential incapacity or disability. Just a few months ago, when you introduced legislation to create a 25th Amendment commission, you said, quote, a president's fitness for office must be determined by science and facts, unquote. Always watch out when one of these people say science and data. You said that it must be, quote, very respectful of not making a judgment on the basis of comment or behavior that we don't like, comma, but based on a medical decision, unquote. Madam Speaker, you are right. Under the Constitution, the 25th Amendment is not a means of punishment or usurpation. That's a big word here at 6:23 in the morning, usurpation. Invoking the 25th Amendment in such a manner would set a terrible precedent. After the horrific events of last week, our administration's energy is directed to ensuring orderly transition. Oh, no, he hit her with a Bible verse, but isn't Nancy Pelosi some sort of Catholic scholar? That's what she always tells herself when she says the Democrat position on abortion is pretty consistent with the Catholic Church or whatever she tells herself, because she's a big faithful Catholic, that one. The Bible says that for everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to heal, a time to build up, unquote. That's time is now. In the midst of global pandemic, economic hardship for millions of Americans, and the tragic events of last week, now is the time for us to come together. Now is the time to heal. I urge you and every member of Congress to avoid actions that would further divide and inflame the passions of the moment. Work with us to lower the temperature and unite our country as we prepare to inaugurate President-elect Biden as the next president of the United States. I pledge that I will continue to do my part in good faith with the incoming administration to assure an orderly transition of power. So help me God. Sincerely, Michael Pence. So here's the other part of this, right? Is if you look at the rhetoric coming out of the left about Trump supporters in general, and then at the same time, out of the other side of their mouth, it's like, hey, bro, it's time to heal. If you're going to say it's time to heal, you cannot be doing the other one at the same time. Do you guys get this? That's the problem. When you're going to heal, when you're going to reconcile, you do have to give up some of your hate and anger on your side. But you just can't say that the Trump people are a bunch of bastards, all of them, paint them in a broad stroke, and then go, oh, hey, bro, heal. You know, they want everyone to just, you know, we're going past the election. Whatever happened in the election, it was a great election. Everything's great. They want you to say that. And then everyone goes on and hugs on. I think it's 30% of Democrats and independents thought that there was something wrong with the election. So we need to go fix that in the upcoming year. That needs to be fixed. Reinstituting confidence in the election process. is going to be like number one. And if it's not in the top two or three for Democrats, then they're not serving the people either. Because you guys keep saying, again, I know these people don't really believe it. They just keep saying they want healing. Well, I think a lot of them would like you just to get, a lot of them would just like you to just give up. They would love for you not to get engaged anymore. How many people do you know have told you, oh, I'm sick of this. There's nothing we can do. Forget about it. I'm going home. And you can do that. It's America. You know something? That's what the powers that be that are hoping you do. Because if you're someone in government right now who really, really loves the power that's going on in the world with emergency powers for lockdowns and things like that, they're really hoping that you guys go away and don't bother them. Because a lot of the times when you guys get pissed off and you guys, some of these business owners take some of these governors and different people to court, they usually are winning. And if there's not people to stand up and challenge this stuff, they'll just keep having their way. And Ari made the case on Monday, Congress as a whole are not a good group of people. The idea that some of you are willing to die on the Hill for Mitch McConnell, Schumer, Pelosi, and all these people, you've lost your mind. These are not good people. They're not. They want power. Do you really think they're doing the people's business? The way they screw up budgeting and all this other stuff. Do you think they're doing the people's business? Because if you are, you're not living in reality. All of these folks need to be challenged. Right? If there's something to learn from Trump over the last 5 years, is that the establishment of both parties are a problem. Right? And what did he do when he went into that? Why was he so attractive to Republicans during the primary? Look who he was running against. Another Bush. And he obliterated Jeb Bush. Right? And all of these folks. Because the establishment Republican wasn't offering you anything new. So now we're hearing Mitch McConnell's all for impeaching Trump, is the reports we're hearing now. Because he just wants him purged. Well, you know, shut your mouth, Mitch. But, I apologize. Mitch, keep shooting your mouth off. Because people are learning that the average Republican's not being served by guys like Mitch McConnell. And there are good people in both sides of the houses, and there's both parties have good people. I think a lot of the people who aren't ideological nutballs are starting to get outnumbered in the Democrat Party. But like I said, we've heard it from Schweikert over all these years, right? Again, I'll never forget it. When he said that there were people, Democrats, on Ways and Means who helped craft the tax cuts. And they weren't allowed to admit they worked on it, and they weren't allowed to vote on the tax cut package that they worked on, because they would basically get crucified by the Democrat Party. That is a horrible place to be as a legislature. When you're saying, hey, I'm for the working guy and gal, and I want to get the small business owner, I want to give him a tax cut, and you're not allowed to vote on it, or Pelosi will come kill you. That's a problem. And I'm sure it's the same way on the other side. Congress is broken. The reason why Trump has so much popularity still after all of this is Congress is broken. Don't, if you think they're a perfect place, you know, go take your meds. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy Simone, Tommy Callahan, spinning the tunes. I'm getting there. Didn't have my coffee yet this morning. My filthy pirate coffee. Let's go to the mailbag real quick. Listener Martin, you just said there's both people, good people on both sides. Get ready to get canceled. And then listener, the biggest thing Trump is guilty of besides his narcissism is that he had the courage to challenge authority. And that's why he was put in office. I said it before he got elected. You are voting to drop a neutron bomb of chaos on 535 people who can't run a country. And that's what happened. And he found out that the swamp is very powerful. And this is why, if you're not electing people to enough people in Congress that are really anti-swamp creatures, it's tough to break the swamp. It ain't happening on the Democrat side. But you could break the swamp on the other side. But there's still swamp creatures. You know, on that, you know, on the, if you don't think there's swamp creatures on the Republican side, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. It's an old line when, you know, my dad used to, that'd be the old joke. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. So there's been this big discussion. Well, we'll get to that later. Maybe we'll do that with Matt when we get to, I'm going to quit Facebook. So I put on my Facebook page yesterday, give me good reasons to stay on Facebook. And in the first 6 minutes, I got 30 comments. This really like touched off something in human beings. So I think I'm up to about 128 right now. And I kind of want to go through that a little bit before it's all over. So let's get to John Stossel. I like John, right? Libertarian guy who would like a little smaller government in our lives. And it's called Teachers Unions Fail Science. Now, we knew this already, right? When we were talking about the Chicago Teachers Union representative who told the teachers, don't go back to school, stay on strike, do not teach the children, as she was sitting on a beach in Puerto Rico. Let me do my Bill Clinton here. She feels your pain. Okay. Now, if you do remember about school, right? So now we'll turn this into the school segment. The AIA did reverse their vote yesterday. Winter sports in high school is going to be allowed to happen. Okay. The guy who flipped his vote is the athletic director from Flowing Wells High School. So good job. Okay. And, you know, hopefully he went into the sausage shop and Barbie at the sausage shop gave him a piece of her mind and helped get him straightened out. But so we're going to do that. So then, you know, we just finished a college football season. And if you remember, one of the quotes is before the football season started was that, quote, someone is going to die. That was from University of Illinois computer science professor, was one of those coronavirus scolds who rang the alarm bells. I guarantee someone's going to die, he said to CBS Sports in June. Well, thank goodness none of his grim predictions of people dying on a football field from COVID or from related to the COVID thing happened. America needs its, you know, all these countries need their sports because right now for some people in the world, it's one of the things that's keeping them from going nuts. And that's why through all whatever is going on in the UK, that English Premier League soccer and all those soccer leagues are still going because they know if somehow they just, like they did in the summer, just cancel all the soccer that people could at least watch on TV, it's really bad for your country's, your populace's spirit. And soccer is way more important than college football is in America here. But I will tell you that. So thank God that didn't happen. Let's get back to Stossel. And the other thing we know, too, is even the opening of colleges, that no one has died from the opening of colleges. Okay. Tommy had your story. You had your story yesterday about the U of A testing. That they did their first 6,000, there was 106 students that were tested positive. And so when I looked at that number was 1.02 or whatever it was, positivity rate, which again is really good. In relation to what's going on in the world, that's a good number, okay? So Stossel, teachers unions say reopening would put their health and safety at risk. They keep schools closed by lobbying and protesting. One demonstrator in a new video at Pinellas County Schools, if I die from catching COVID from being forced into school, you can drop my dead body right here, shouts one of the protesters in a new video. Studies on tens of thousands of people show no consistent relationship between in-person K-12 schooling and the spread of coronavirus. Even Dr. Fauci, Dr. Doom, I'm going to get him one of those Dr. Doom metal masks from the Fantastic Four. I think he would look great in it. Head of the task force encouraged schools to reopen, saying close bars and keep, like he said, and keep the schools open. Heritage Foundation researcher Lindsay Burke points out that studies in 191 countries find, quote, no consistent link between reopening schools and increased rate of COVID transmission. Schools are not the hot spots. I know it sounds like, so what Stossel says, but the kids are bunched together. It's logical they would be. And then the response is positivity rates in schools are always below, generally below those in the broader community. So this goes back to what Doug Ducey was talking about on Monday in the State of the State. Closed schools hurt low-income students. The privileged get around all the union restrictions. Almost all of California's government-run schools are closed. But everyone maybe not know this. I know you'll be in shock. Gavin Newsom sends his kids to a private school that stayed open. The choice from thee, but not for thee. We've said that a few times on this show. Kids blocked from attending school suffer more than just academic losses. Kids are social animals. Their lack of ability, this is the lady from Heritage Foundation, the lack of their ability to interact in person, see their friends, see their teachers is really having an impact. That's still not a good enough reason to reopen schools, said the unions. In one video, a San Antonio teacher argues, quote, we understand that in-person learning is more effective than online, but that's not the question. The question is, what is the safest? And then back to Ms. Burke, that's really not what the heart of why the unions are trying to keep the school closed. It's a question of politics. Union demands include all sorts of things unrelated to teacher safety. The LA union demands included defunding the police, a moratorium on charter schools, higher taxes on the wealthy, and Medicare for all. This was their demands to going back in the late summer. The Oregon Education Association said they wanted schools to halt any transfers to virtual charter schools. There's clearly no health issue in a virtual setting. So public school teachers unions hate charter schools. Okay, because what happens is it's taking students away who are sick of being taught in a poor manner in a public school, going to a charter school, which of course is taking funding away from the public schools. So the unions in Oregon said they didn't want anyone going to a virtual charter school as part of their demands. Like somehow they were going to ban that. Well, why? So if you're really there for the health, why would you say the kid going to virtual learning is somehow a health demand? Because it's not. They're just using it for leverage. It's revealing that government-run schools fight to stay closed, while most businesses, private schools, restaurants, hair salons, gyms, are fighting to be allowed to be open. Why is that? The government schools receive funding regardless of whether or not they're open, unquote. So this is why Doug Ducey's saying in his state of the state that when we come to the next school year and you don't have kids in seats, you're not going to get your funding. The virtual learning thing has to come to an end. So union workers get paid when they don't work. Not working seems to be a big union goal. At one point, LA teachers even secured a contract saying they only are, quote, required to provide instruction 4 hours a day, and they will not be required to teach classes using live video conferencing. Nice non-work if you can get it. So teachers' unions keep winning. They will win more now that the Democrats control the federal government. The Congress's last stimulus package forbid any funds to be used to expand school choice, no vouchers, no tuition tax credit programs, education savings account, scholarship programs, or tuition assistance programs. So students lose, parents lose, taxpayer loses, America loses. Unions win. We asked 21 teachers' union to respond to the criticisms in this column. None responded. Their behavior, it reveals their true interest, power and money. Students come third. So that's from John Stossel, townhall.com, called Teachers Unions Fail Science. So one more thing, we'll take this back to any of you Republicans, independents out there that have lost heart. If you like the things that are going on in some parts of the world, right, like the charter school movement, like school choice, right? Like, so not even the fact if, so like when Carlos Ruiz was, he told us years ago when he was still on the board of Tanque Verde School District that their open enrollment from these kids escaping TUSD, they were so packed they couldn't take anymore, right? That's because there's laws that allow parents to escape failing school districts to go to one if they have room to get a better education. So here you are. All I understand your butt hurt, you're pissed off. I got it. But there's, if you like those things in your life, you can move. Don't get me wrong. You can go find another state to live in, which is a great way to get out of here. I'm okay with that. Okay. But if you're going to stay here and you don't bring election integrity back to what's going on in the world, right? And people have to feel like there's fair elections in Arizona that are being, you know, none of this bull crap with the machine. We got to figure this whole thing out. All right. But if you take your ball and go home, all of these things you like when the Democrats take over the state legislature or the governor's office, it's over. They're going to obliterate. If you love that your grandkid or kid's in a charter school right now, they're going to obliterate that. They're going to kill it like you would never believe. They may try to stop open enrollment in other schools. They're going to try to force parents to stay. If you're a TUSD parent and your kid's in an F or D school, they're going to try to trap you there because they want the funding of that kid in that school. Nothing pisses off any of these people more than the school district sucks. They don't do anything to fix it. And then when the parent says, well, geez, I got to get out of here. And I don't have money to go to a private school, right? All of those options, whether it's going to a better school district or a better school that's also a public school or the charter school movement, that crap's over. So if you're gonna go into the pity party thing and, you know, Arizona sucks and we're not going to fix it, then you can move. I'm okay with that. Don't think I haven't thought about moving out of the state. But you know something? You know, if you're going to stay, you got to fight. And I know some of you are like, oh, Pollyanna DeSimone, what are you going to do? You know something? This is part of how you change a state and a country. I need new people to step up. And that's where we're at. I'm going to be a broken record. If you're one of those people who say, well, I should run for this. Yeah, you should. And seriously, if you want to have a discussion about the reality of running for office, email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Hit me on Facebook Messenger, however you want to contact me, and I will sit down for a beer, cup of coffee, whatever you like. Hopefully it's a filthy pirate cup of coffee, and I will give you the reality of what's going on. But I'm going to tell you something. I need people to run for Oro Valley Town Council. Joe Winfield's got to go away. I'm done with him. He's lost his way. Mayor Ed, I love him to death. But you know something? This might be Mayor Ed's last term. What happens then in Marana? They're one of the shining examples of how to get things done, how to resist the silliness at the county. And Mayor Ed's been the point of that spear. Well, if he says, look, this is my last term, what happens 3 years from now? So I need new people that want Marana to continue to be the shining city on the hill to run for office. Look at the school boards. Just look at AmFi. That's a mess. AmFi school board's a mess. I need one or two of you to run for AmFi school board. I'm sure people down on the south side, the Sarita area there, they'll probably tell you I need a couple of people to run for that and Sarita Town Council. You need to do it now. And seriously, I will help you. I have been going through this for the last 12 years. I will connect you with the right people to give you the reality of what's going on. I will hook you up with people like Alan Willenbrock who will teach you how to read a budget. Because when Chuck Huckleberry, or remember, the county budget's a whole different special beast. So anyway, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. You know how to get a hold of me. I need new people to run for office. New names, new faces. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice. Grant Kruger's coming up at the top of the hour. Look at you. Uh-oh. Is there a White Lion guy birthday today?
There is. There is. I want to say it's the bassist. I got to double check on that.
Everyone knows White Lion for their bass work, so not really. It's good to see there's other songs after Wait.
Any excuse I have to play White Lion, I'm in. They're actually a really seriously underrated band musically. They are all very talented musicians.
I bet they are. So keep playing some White Lion. That's okay. Hey, real quick. So I told you earlier that I kind of talked about this story by Dave Wickner, who does the business story that comes up in the Star once every 7 months. And this is about the self-driving truck company plans major expansion. So as part of that, there's 100 jobs. Okay. They're buying some dirt from Diamond Ventures to expand, which is next door. This is over on Old Vale Road. Okay. And I've been there. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the incentives, right? Who's getting the jobs, right? Maybe we need to relook at our incentives because people that I've gotten a couple of calls after I did this story from folks at the city of Tucson who heard me talk about this and say, we gave them incentives even though they were going to expand anyway. Right. And that, you know, the question is how many of these jobs, even the previous few hundred jobs over there, actually go to people from Tucson? Because what I'm hearing is they bring in a lot of Chinese nationals and their main the company's in San Diego. So what I'm hearing is that a lot of the employees fly back and forth or drive back and forth from San Diego, stay in an apartment, and then go back. I'd love to know how many people who are getting these jobs that we're giving incentives to are actually people who are in Tucson who live here full time. That would be a question to ask Dave Wickner. I know it's too easy, right? So you say, why would the city of Tucson give an incentive that they didn't need to do it? Because this is what I'm hearing from folks in the manager's office, right? Well, of course, it's kind of like economic virtue signaling. Look what we're doing. So someone from the manager's office sent me the stuff, as we like to say, on how much money Two Simple's getting to expand to do 100 to an expansion they were going to do anyway, right? The city of Tucson is giving them $117,000 in incentives on a business that people are telling me they were going to. It's not like Two Simple was going to quit Tucson. They needed to expand. They're already here. So this is, I mean, even Chuck Huckleberry made up the bullcrap lie that Worldview was going to move on us if we didn't give them the building. Yeah, whatever, Chuck. Now, so if you were the city of Tucson, you gave $117,000 of incentives away to a company that people in the manager's office are telling me you didn't really need to do in the first place. And the memo on this is January 5th of 2021. So this is happening right now. So maybe one of the things that's a problem is when you look at the criteria, are they actually asking, are the jobs for people from Tucson? That would be kind of an important question. And if we're doing this $117,000 to a company that needed it in the first place, is that $117,000 we could have used other places? I don't know. Do crazy things like, I don't know, buy a cop a Kevlar vest. I don't know. Call me crazy. All right, Grant Kruger's coming up next from the Union Restaurants. He is in the middle of a lawsuit against Pima County about their silly curfew. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.